Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Sri Amakunda Radha Kunda Gita Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Gangamaya Ki Jai Jamunamaya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Ki Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter where Balaram goes to Vrindavan. Intoxicated with joy, Lord Balaram sported flower garlands, including the famous Vajayanti. He wore a single earring, and beads of perspiration decorated his smiling lotus face like snowflakes. The Lord then summoned the Jamuna so that he could play in her waters, but she disregarded his command, thinking he was drunk. This angered Balaram, and he began dragging the river with the tip of his plow. Lord Balaram said, O sinful one, disrespecting me, you do not come when I call you, but rather move only by your own whim. Therefore, with the tip of my plow, I shall bring you here in 100 streams. Report. Balaram said, because you did not answer my call, I will divide you into 100 streams with the tip of my plow. Om Aganata Namandasya Aganata Masakaya Rakshara Nintam Yinatas Mashuddha Vayamaha. To properly appreciate the event we are celebrating tonight, we should consider the context. Recently, the Brijavasins had come to Dwarka. And they had an intense yearning to see Krishna marry Srimati Radharani, because he was already married to Rukmini. But she had a vow that Krishna could not marry anyone else without her permission. So after Krishna had left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, within a short time, all the 16,108 gopis disappeared. Srimati entered into Damuna and never came out. And Vishaka went with her. And Lalita Devi, unable to live without her two best friends, headed for a peak of Govardhan Hill but was stopped by Vrinda Devi. Said, don't do it. You have to tell the Brijavasins what happened. And she said, yes, yes, but went on with her business. Ascending to a peak overlooking the deep gorge where she could see birds flying far below and smoke rising from the chimneys in the village on the plain. And she said, I will join with those birds. And she left off a cliff and just disappeared. Of course, we found out later that Jambavan felt inspired to visit Braj that day. And he was flying through next to Govardhan and saw this beautiful girl coming down from the sky. And he caught her and took her home and adopted her. The rest of the Astasakis disappeared in some in unusual ways. Others were taken back into the care and shelter of their fathers. And the other 16,100 who were praying on the bank of Jamuna were kidnapped by Naraka and imprisoned in a cave on Ravataka Mountain.
So after Krishna married Rukmini, the other Astasakis started appearing, with the exception of Srimati, who is now Satyabhama. And after the whole controversy with the Shamantaka jewel, she was placed into the care of Rukmini as Satyajit's endeavor to rectify his conflict with Krishna. But Rukmini was not too happy about having Srimati in the palace in her imminent meeting with Krishna, so she hid her in Navavrindavan, in the care of Navavrinda. But then, and Krishna never really had any interest in going to Navavrindavan until Satyabhama took up her residence there. And with her presence in Navavrindavan, the whole forest came to life just like Vrindavan. And then Krishna felt attracted to go there, which he otherwise wouldn't do, which is why he probably placed Satyabhama in the first place. So Satyabhama came to know, actually she found Krishna there. And then she conspired to send Satyabhama in exile to a far distant country. And while the controversy was raging and becoming very intense, because Satyabhama, understand that she was, you know, first she was actually very happy in Navavrindavan. But then Rukmini, understanding that she was meeting Krishna there, took her to her palace, and she was looking like a prisoner in Rukmini's palace. And then she caught wind of the plot to exile her. So she thought, it's just not worth it. So she plunged into Kaliya's snake-infested lake to give up her life. But the coils she found herself embraced in were not the hoods of serpents, but had a very cooling effect as Krishna rescued her. And right about that time, when the controversy was becoming very intense, Vukula came running into the assembly and said, a very special caravan has just arrived at the palace gates. And I said, well, what caravan is this? The Bridge of Asis are here. Mother Jashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Purnamasi, and all the gopas. They've just arrived in Dwarka. So Krishna just dropped everything and ran into the lap of Mother Jashoda, where he was bathed by her tears. And the Brijabasis took up residence in Dwarka for a short time. And during that time, you know, they were happy to see that he was married to Rukmini. They really wanted to see him married to Srimati Radharani. But of the 16,107 gopis who had all reappeared in Dwarka, nobody had come to understand as of yet that Satyabhama was Srimati Radharani. So Mother Jashoda told Rukmini, my dear daughter Trindavali, you will have to marry Krishna. You will have to be Srimati Radharani. And she turned to Lalita and said, how can I do that? And then Mukara, running to Kaliyagat, saw the silhouette of Satyabhama and realized, that's my granddaughter. She ran back into the assembly, just breathless and unable to speak. So after Krishna married all the 16,000 1,108 princess. And then Garuda came flying in with the other 16,100 on his back and landed in the arena. And then Krishna married all the gopis of Braj, who are now queens of Dwarka. And the Vrijabhasis were happy to see this. But they were completely out of place in Dwarka. Amongst Vasudev, Devaki, Rohini, Mother Yashoda, and Ananda Maharaj, and Purnamasi had such a different mood. And there, Krishna had friends like Uddhava and Arjuna, and the gopas really felt out of place. The Dwarkavasis continually referred to Krishna as the supreme being. And the Vrijabhasis couldn't relate to that. And worst of all, there was no Jamuna, Govardhan Hill, or pasturing grounds. So, after a short stay, the Vrijabhasis returned to Braj. Shortly thereafter, in his assembly hall, Krishna received a letter from Braj, and Uddhava read it in the assembly before the queens and ministers. And the Vrijabhasis were saying, how is it that the charming moonlit nights and the cool constant breeze off to Jamuna cannot soothe us and cool us and protect us from the conflagration which is consuming us all? And immediately tears began pouring from Krishna's eyes, and he began sighing very heavily. He couldn't even respond. But Uddhava wrote back to the Vrijabhasis in his own handwriting, a letter, saying that, you know, Krishna doesn't have any desire to reside in Dwarka. The palaces, the princesses, they don't give him any pleasure. And he's haunted by memories of Braj. But the real mystery is, why didn't he go? And this is a very important theological point to contemplate. Because Krishna's first concern, foremost of all, is the happiness and pleasure of the Vrijabhasis. And he had learned by experience that they suffer much more in his presence than they do in his absence. Because in his presence they are plagued by this fear that he'll again depart. But in the realm of Vipralamba, he's constantly with them, like a shadow. And they hear his words in their minds. And they see him in their meditation. And they're united more intimately in the trance of remembrance, in which there's a bliss far surpassing the sporadic happiness they feel in his presence. So considering all these points, Krishna resolved that he wouldn't return. And this was not at all pleasing to Baladeva, who did not approve of Krishna's reasoning or actions. So after numerous attempts to change his brother's mind, and feeling deep empathy for the plight of the Vrijabhasis, Baladeva decided he would go alone. And when Krishna caught wind of that, he had half a mind to accompany him. But when the Jadus got wind of this idea, they understood if Krishna returns to Braj, he'll never leave again. We'll never get him back. So the elders, they all feigned illness. The wives were pouting, and the children were crying. And then Krishna could not leave them in that condition. So Krishna gave a verbal message to Baladev to deliver to the Vrijavasis. And he specifically instructed Baladev how to be his emissary to the gopis. And that was a very grave and deep mission, which weighed heavily on Baladev's mind as the most difficult task he'd ever undertaken. And he was contemplating the whole sojourn from Dwarka to Braj. How is he going to represent? I mean, he could read the message, but how could he impart Krishna's special relationship with each of the gopis? The Lord of all and the master of all potencies did not feel up to this task, and it weighed heavily on his mind. When he reached Braj, Nanda and Yashoda took him in their laps and bathed him with their tears, and they began asking questions beginning with the ordinary formalities and leading very quickly into how is Krishna? What's he doing? And Baladev responded as if he had 1,000 mouths. So Braj, which in the absence of Krishna had become like a wasteland, was now restored because Baladev breathed new life into the land of Vrindavan. But his most difficult task still awaited, delivering Krishna's message to the gopis. So when he met with them, he honored them as Krishna's most exclusive lovers, and they honored Baladev as Krishna's big brother, guru and elder. And then immediately they started reprimanding Krishna as being ungrateful and not reciprocating, and on. But then, as they remembered Krishna, they entered into such ecstasy that Baladev was mystified by the contradictory currents of emotion that the gopis were revealing. And then he was contemplating how to deliver the message. He was confident he could repeat Krishna's words. But how to convey the unique love and relationship Krishna had with each of the gopis? So when he began narrating Krishna's message, he saw that they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted Krishna. They wanted to hear his message from his own mouth. And Baladev was in a very serious predicament. And to save Baladev from that awkward situation, Krishna appeared first in Baladev's mind, because Baladev as Sankarshan, he has that potency to draw Krishna wherever he likes, as well as to draw the jiva to Krishna. So Krishna had appeared in Baladev's mind as he's meeting with Krishna's gopis. And Krishna was wondering, what is my brother doing now? How's he handling the situation? And then, for an instant, Krishna found himself transported to a moonlit kund on the bank of the Jamuna, to the songs of sorrowful Chakavarta birds, which replaced the crashing waves on the seashore and the ornate palaces and the karari birds of Dwarka. And as Krishna repeated his message through Baladeva's mouth, the gopis were perplexed. They were hearing Krishna's words in Krishna's own voice, but it's Baladeva before them speaking. And then to remove any doubt whatsoever that Krishna was personally interacting with each of the gopis, Baladeva revealed Krishna for an instant. When Baladeva's lightning complexion, dressed in blue garments and holding a plow, was replaced by Shyamasundara, wearing yellow cloth and holding his flute. And then Krishna found himself back in Braj, before the gopis. And he sat up in his bed in Dwarka, and he looked around. Was that a dream? But he felt such happiness that only the Braj Vasis could give him. What happened? Who could he discuss this with? Only Baladeva, but he was in Braj. Krishna would have to wait for his return. So Baladeva stayed 2 months in Braj. And he would narrate Krishna's leelas to the Vrijavasis, which restored and maintained their lives through that difficult period of separation. And during that time, the trees again blossomed, and the birds sang happily, and the cows grazed peacefully in the lush pasturing grounds. And it was as if Baladeva had revived Braj with a downpour of nectar. And then he would have Rasalila tonight. He had Rasalila with his own gopis. And as the varunis swelled up and flowed from the trees, the very fragrance of which made it an intoxicating atmosphere. And Baladeva began to drink, and his eyes rolled, and his body swayed. And he told Jamuna, come to me so I can sport in your waters. And she was saying, he is drunk. And she disregarded his order. And he became angry and chastised her. Oh, sinful one, disrespecting me. You do not come when I call, but rather move only by your own whim. Therefore, with the tip of my plow, I shall bring you to me in 100 branches. And then she came to the lotus feet of Baladeva and surrendered. And Srila Prabhupada comments that Jamuna still flows in many branches at this place. So, for 2 months, Baladeva stayed in Braj. But it passed just like one night. And then one morning, when that night had ended, the Vrijavasis woke up, and that golden chariot was gone. And the flowers began to wilt, and the gopas' faces withered, and the cows groaned in agony and would not graze in the meadows. And only the trees on the western road still blossomed, because they were the last ones to see him leave. So this is the night of Balaram's Rasa Yatra. And what is Rasa Lila? The stellar system gives a crude analogy. that in the center of the stellar system is the pole star. The suns orbit the pole star. The planets orbit their respective suns. The moons orbit their respective planets. And satellites orbit their respective moons. And the whole stellar system moves in this graceful form of cosmic dance. And in this way, the Braja Shakti, which moves according to the ebb and flow of Ras, thus attracting our hearts to Krishna, is reflected throughout this material creation. And what is the effect of coming in contact, being introduced to this Braja Shakti? It is harmony based on placing and keeping Krishna in the center of all our talks, all our thoughts, all our activities. This material world is compared to a blazing forest fire, a conflagration which consumes and scorches everyone and everything. Because how does the forest fire begin? By friction of the different bamboo stalks rubbing against one another when the winds of temptation make them move and conflict, causing friction and heat and blazing forth in fire. The spiritual master extinguishes that blazing forest fire because he's the representative of Baladeva, with the downpour of nectar in the form of Krishna's holy names, Krishna Katha, Krishna Lila, and Krishna Bhakti. He restores the harmony which we all seek, having remembrance of that long ago, before we left the spiritual world, to try to enjoy separately, independently. So Baladev, to set an example, even when Jamuna did not follow his instructions, he chastised her for acting whimsically and independently. And with his haul, his plow, he carved a new channel. What is the significance of the plow? When the field becomes overgrown with weeds and thorns, and the desired crop cannot grow, then the agriculturist, with his plow, he clears the field. And in the furrow, he plants the seed. It's sacramental. Everybody knows that the plow is sacramental. And in Oriental countries, it's the emperor who plows the field before any sacrifice, as was the case when Janak Maharaj plowed the field in which he found Sita in the furrow, or Vrishabhanu Maharaj plowing the field, finding Srimati in the furrow. It means that when he takes shelter with the instructions of the spiritual master, who is a representative of Baladeva, He clears away the weeds of material desire in an arthas and opens the heart like a furrow to plant the bhakti lata bija, which grows into devotional attitude and service mentality. The symptom of which is Trinadapi Sunichina, Padorapi Sahishtina, Amani Dhammanadina, Kirtaniya Samadhi. And one develops that kind of humility, like a blade of grass, tolerance, like a tree, eagerness to offer respects to all living entities, and not desiring any respect in return, then he can chant the holy name of the holy name constantly. Why? Because then you'll have a taste. So when devotees come together in Harinam Sankirtan, which is how we worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, the sacrifice for this age is Harinam Sankirtan. When you come together on the altar of sacrifice, chanting the holy names and dancing under the influence of that braj shakti which accompanies the holy name of Krishna and Balarama, then what happens to our conflicts in our egocentric friction that we experience with others? We see it in its proper light. And we're grateful that whatever comes into our life is a token gesture of what we deserve in terms of the sufferings and the taste of bread is so undeserved that when devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, how is it that there are many devout religious practitioners in different lines who have no qualification whatsoever have been introduced to the mellows of Vrindavan? And Srila Prabhupada said, I have created your qualification. Because he's a representative of Baladev. So on this night of Balarama's Rasa Yatra, we should pray for his mercy that we can please our spiritual master. And that is why we feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada like we're in Vrindavan, because he's a representative of Baladev, representative of the Sankarsana, who can draw Krishna from Dwarka to Braj, and he can also draw the hearts of the living entities from this material world back to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. In that realm, where all talk is song, all motion is dance, and it's all activated by the sound of Krishna's feet. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? What's that?
What is Varuni? They say it's
honey,
but...
It's fermented honey. it's a kind of divine intoxicant. Not like the intoxicants of this world that make you forget Krishna. It's a divine intoxicant made by fermenting and distilling honey. And it makes the devotees intoxicated with love of God. It's not a beverage of this world. It's Varuna's daughter who flows from the trees. We don't have this experience in this world.
Anything else?
Yeah, many times. Lord Gauranga would call out, "Bring me wine, bring me wine." And the devotees were perplexed. They just look at him. What does he want? And then Srivas Thakur and others came to quickly realize, if you just gave him Ganges water, he'd be completely satisfied. Such is the love of the two brothers that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes be so immersed in the love of Nityananda that he would forget himself and become Baladev. And sometimes he would be seen with a plow.
Anything else?
What's that?
Krishna Balaram.
Yeah. She had that dream that Nimai and Nitai went to the altar and got in an argument with Krishna Balaram. He said, "What do you think you're doing on the altar? You're not the lords of this age. Your days of stealing butter and yogurt are finished. You're supposed to be preachers now and get down from there." So what do you mean? Who are you? You're the imposters. And they started fighting with each other. And Mother Sachi was so, she didn't know what to make of it. Nimai said, "Our deities are very special. And I think Nityananda is hungry. So you have to feed him." So he invited him, they brought Nitai and fed him sumptuously. And then Mother Sachi saw Nimai and Nitai in their forearm forms, holding conch, club, disc, lotus, and plow. These things happen regularly in the house of Satyamata.
Krishna, thank you very much.